What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings.
And I'm Keith Finch.
And today's episode is, as usual, brought to you by Taurus USA and guns.com. Taurus USA, we make reliable guns for the people. We make them by the people, too, but just a lot of those people aren't in the United States. So, like, I was going
People
to
do
do
make the
by the
guns,
people.
though.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, by the people for the people, but like, the Brazilian people make a lot of our guns. But we do have United States production as well.
A
And
Brazilian people? Oh my God, that's a lot.
I do you remember that bit with George Bush? But anyway, if you're looking for more information on our firearms, go to taurususa.com. And if you'd like to buy them or consume neat content about them, go visit our friends at guns.com. And
Do it.
today, so as you know, if you guys listened to last week's episode, you all know that I discovered the Harrington and Richardson throwback rifles made by PSA. And what I don't know if I necessarily completed it on the show, but I bought two of them because I should not have a credit card and should not be left alone with adult money.
I mean, neither should I.
So Keith bought a Stormtrooper White AUG, and I bought a Colt Commando clone and a friggin' A2 clone because we're grown-ups and this is what grown-ups do with their
We're
money.
grown-ups, and we're millennials who are living through the downfall of society, and we will have little treats to enjoy this downfall, damn
Do
it.
you ever wonder, like, if you were a Roman citizen living through the fall of the Roman Empire, if you were sort of cognizant that the Roman Empire was falling, or if you're just like,
I
God,
do.
the
I do on
army.
occasion wonder that, and I wonder if I really wonder how parallel this is. And for the record, guys, I don't think like the USA is about to fall tomorrow or anything. I
No.
don't think we're in that dire of straits. Everybody thinks they're living through the worst times that have ever worst timed, so on and so forth, etc.
One of my favorite
But
things. Go ahead.
the current political cycle is not fun.
No. One
Not
of my favorite things
enjoyable.
that I like to remind people of, and this is especially, and this is something that I find myself saying a lot, especially to my more religious friends, is the Apostle Paul, who like literally lived in the same time as Jesus, was 100% convinced that the end times were going to happen like within his lifetime. Like he was absolutely convinced that there was
Jesus is
no
like Jesus
way.
is coming back in like 10 years. He's just on
He's like, there
sabbatical
is no way any of this could get any worse. Clearly, the second coming is nearly upon us. They're absolutely gonna happen. And here we are 2,000 years later, and you know, we're still ticking along. But all of that aside, so in the Air Force, we zero our M4 carbines at 25 meters. And this is largely a function of Air Force policy on range development over the past 60 years, where we have focused on building 25 meter enclosed indoor ranges because they allow us to do the largest amount of qualification with the least amount of lost classes and stuff like that to weather, right? And I
The
know.
Army, by the way, also uses a variant of the 25 meter zero. It's supposed to project beyond that, but it is often done incorrectly, which leaves you with a true 25 meter zero, and that's a problem.
So let's talk about the 25-300 zero just to start with. So the idea behind the 25-300 zero is that if you're 5.56, here's a bunch of other shit that's important. The 25-300 zero was designed for XM1 or M193 ammo out of an M4 carbine. Okay, so it was designed so that if you zeroed your M4 with M193, 25 yards, it would hit dead on. And then at like 100 yards, it would be something, some crazy number, like 7 inches high. And then it would start to drop off at about 200 yards so that it would cross back through a true zero at 300 yards. And the idea was, well, if you hold on the belt buckle of a man-sized target from anywhere to 300 yards, you'll fucking hit it. I'm like, well, that's stupid. And it is. So to start, the 25 meter zero is stupid for carbines, and there's a
It
gajillion
is.
reasons why.
And one of those reasons is most people think the 25 yard zero is supposed to be point of aim, point of impact. It is not. There's supposed to be an offset, and that offset is also determined by how high your optic is And if you get that offset a little bit wrong at 25 and go, eh, good enough, you could be 6, 10, 12 inches off in the 100-yard, 150-yard zone where that round is, you know, trying to kiss the sun at the top of its arc. Because you are yeeting that thing artillery style very, very high with a zero that close to the muzzle.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. So what people don't understand, so the 25-yard zero, the idea is that, again, if I hold on the belt buckle of a man-sized target anywhere from 25 to 300 yards, the round will land somewhere in the torso area, right? That's terrible. That's, first off, that's a fucking terrible marksmanship philosophy, right? Like, hey, let's belly shoot people at 75 yards. And then at 100 yards, we're going to hit them in the upper thoracic cavity. And then 200 yards, we're going to kind of like shoot them in the solar plexus. And then at 300 yards, we're going to shoot them in the gut again. I'm like, or, and hear me out, U.S. Army. And again, I need to be clear. With the Air Force, I have a limb fact. I can't zero at true range. I've got what I've got, right? Mm-hmm. But what's crazy is if you go and you do the math and you just zero and you push that zero out just by 25 yards and you just do a 50-yard zero instead, the ballistics make so much more sense.
You compress the point of aim, point of impact area down to roughly a 6 to 8 inch space, right? From the muzzle to the sight, above the sight, back to the sight, back to the line intersecting the muzzle is only like 8 inches. And that's across most calibers, most rifle platforms.
Like I did, so as an example, and I'm not saying that a 50-yard zero is the best zero or anything like that, but like on a 5.56 specifically, because I've been looking at these numbers that I previously never gave a shit about. If I zero a, you know, 193 out of a 16-inch carbine at 50 meters, it's like a couple inches high at 100, a couple inches low at 200, and then at 300, it's fairly low. It's 8 to 10 inches low. Mm-hmm. But people have an instinct to hold high when they shoot at things far away. Mm-hmm. Like people will instinctively hold a higher, and this has been tested.
Guys, we understand gravity. We understand what gravity does. We have, from our very earliest days, as we're developing permanence in memory, anything we've tossed or anything we've thrown or falling down or we've interacted with gravity our literal whole lives, we understand it on an instinctual level. So if want to go further, must aim higher.
Well, and that's crazy, right? Because like if you think about the difference, so a 25-yard hold, me, you know, I'm holding on the belt buckle, right? 0 to 25 to 300, okay? If I change my zero to 50 meters or 100 meters, then I'm holding on the high center chest at any distance that I shoot at. And then at 300, 350 meters, my hits start dropping into the stomach, into the bad region.
All I have to do is scoot my point of aim up, which I am naturally more inclined to do anyway. It makes sense.
Right. And so like the argument in favor of the 25-yard zero, which is, oh, we'll just hold this one area and you'll get hits on target, also makes sense if you use a 50-yard or 100-yard zero. But then instead of holding the belt buckle, I get to hold the high center chest and shoot where I want to shoot. Like that's where I want the bullet to hit, is there. Mm-hmm. And then if it's 300 yards and I forget to compensate or dial, or I don't have, you know, an optic or whatever, and I fucking shank one into his belly, well, okay. But that was the plan for belly shooting him at 300 yards anyway with the 25-yard. Mm-hmm. Now, okay.
Versus,
do you know anybody that actually...
We had this problem several times while I was shooting Army quals. They would do a point of aim, point of impact, 25-yard zero, which is supposed to be... It's supposed to be a compensated 300. It is supposed to mm-hmm. be a 300, but there's supposed to be, I believe it's a 1.4 or 1.5 minute of angle offset. They have you shoot point of aim. Your point of impact is supposed to be 1.5 minutes offset low so that you get the arc. You're also supposed to fire confirmation groups at all targets at all distances. Most of the time, that step gets skipped because it's time intensive. You have to deal with people who already can't shoot and can't qual. You're putting it into a limited time block. So these things get skipped. So what you end up with is a point of aim, point of impact 25, which means your rounds with M855A1 are insanely high at 150, 200, and 250. They will
And
go over the target, you will miss.
And that's the other thing too. The 25 meter zero, 25 yard zero is not appropriate for M855A1 because that thing is out of a 16 inch gun. That thing is a piss missile. It is flying. It has way more
the muzzle velocity
than
on
a
that stuff
193.
is insane because it's optimized for a 14.5. So anything longer than that is putting a little more ass on it.
I kind of want to chrono some XM or not XM. I kind of want to chrono some A1 out of my 20 inch gun and be like.
I want to as well. I floated the barrel on it. I've shown several people in our friend group. It's on Instagram. Here's another funny thing. Effective range, right? What's the effective range of something? The effective range of the M16A4 is listed at 600 meters. Well,
correct.
I took mine to 1,025.
Oof.
I was getting hits on a torso size steel at 1,025.
Your holdover is just like, you're like, all right, if I aim for the bottom half of the stun,
I've got it saved. How many? I'm not doing it with an ACOG, guys. It's with a Mark V 18X. It's got a good scope on it, but
you run out of elevation in your dial. You're like, well, guys, we're gonna go ahead and lick the stamp and send it.
Nope, I think it was only like 9 mils. It was well within the dial range. Well,
nine
within.
Mil. I had to
Dude,
dial
that
more
thing is
than.
screaming with 77 grain Sierra Match King. I was getting just shy of 2,900 feet a second.
I had to dial more than that shooting 308 at 1,000 yards. I was like,
308 starts slower.
I'm trying to remember what I was on shooting a 308 at 1,000 yards. I want to say I was 20 mils. What does the scope run to? Hang on. I was out of an 18 inch gun.
Hey guys, as you can see, our ADHD is in full effect.
Okay, out of an 18 inch gun, I was at 36 mils and I ran out of elevation. So I was still holding up off the top of the target. And that was with 165 grain. That was with 100. I love that I'm off camera right now, by the way. But I'm gonna get my headphones in. That one was, here it is. So the stated muzzle velocity on these things is 2,700 feet per second out of probably a 20 inch gun. So lose, 200 feet per second for an 18 incher. And yeah, I was holding in low Earth orbit to land those things in there with a 308.
Yeah, let me see. This isn't exactly on because I don't remember. Don't remember precisely.
Welcome to Gun Day Brunch ADHD edition. which is every edition, really.
It is every edition. Hi guys. You're not tuning in to us because you don't know we're autistic, so this isn't exactly it, but okay, no, it was more. Oh no, that's minutes. Why is it in minutes?
That would be what you held is MOA. Minutes is.
Yep. There it is. There's mils. Yeah, I was only I was 12 mils. It was 12 or 12 to 13 mils.
12 mils is what's 12 mils in MOA?
Roughly 3.5. Three and a half.
Oh, geez,
conversion.
That's nothing. Like again. 37 MOA to lob one in there with a 308. Because you do forget, right? Like 5.56 is going a lot faster out of the gun.
Yeah.
Especially.
Yeah. Its BC isn't quite as high. So it's going to bleed some velocity. But like, guys, 77 grain has a pretty good BC. It retains some speed. 55 is a little short, fat guy. So like firing 7.62 by 39, that stuff hits the brakes as soon as you get out. It's a short, fat little round. So, and it's only 2,300.
But I will say this: 55 holds it. 55 does out to 500 yards. 55 is great. And people were like, "Oh, I 55 great." I'm like, dude. Okay, first.
No, I've made out of a short barrel. Like I've taken my a little 11.5 inch MCX out to 500 yards. it's eminently doable. It's very, very, very simple to get hits at that if you know what to look for and correct for, and you can read the wind a little bit, because what 55 won't fight is wind. So you've got to make
You get your speaking of we can't have adult money, did I tell you guys about how I got drunk and bought a Kestrel?
That's probably my purchase.
Because I did. And I have not used it one time. But I had just come back from the long range class. I took an FTW Ranch.
I bought dual tube NVGs. Do you know what I have done with that? Chased my pets around in the dark.
Which is still fun.
It's still
but
really
now
fun.
I'm gonna take this Kestrel, because so what I'm gonna do is I wanna take this A2.
Mm-hmm.
And on this A2, I have put the Primary Arms 5X Prism that I bought to put on something else, mm-hmm. but I put it on this because it's a 5X prism and it's got a really cool, I have to give prime, look, I got to shout out Primary Arms. Whoever is in their product development team and is like designing some of the reticles and stuff that they're putting into their guns, they are doing a great job. The reticle in
they
this 5X
are killing it
is fantastic. The reticle in my 3x18 that they call the Athena reticle is also mm-hmm. fantastic. I can't read mils, but it's still a fucking good reticle.
You should bring that to extended distance carbine up. It'd be a bit of a hike for you. It's up in West Virginia, but you should come and shoot that with me.
Butts, Virginia. No, so, but like, I'm looking at this A2, right? And, you know, I obviously am a big fan of pressing obsolete guns into roles that they probably aren't optimal for, revolvers.
The reason I like that you and I do this, like, look, the M16A4 was never supposed to be a precision rifle, but I floated the barrel and I put a big scope on it and I hit at 1,025. What you're doing is, what can a rifle actually do?
Well, let's think about this, right? So, like, you know, let's talk about, like, that home defense, you know, people talk about, like, and we have talked about it on this show, where we've talked about if you actually want to survive a breakdown of social order, you need to have a community, right? And yep. I was hanging out at my neighbor's house, and I joked that if we had a breakdown of social order, that I'd like to use their attic, because from their attic, I have a clear field of fire in 300 yards down the main thoroughfare that gets into our neighborhood. And like, if you put a guy up there with a rifle that can hit a point target out to 500 yards on command, they can own that street from anything other than really determined counter fire, right? So, and then I'm looking at this A2 and I'm like, boy, you get 20 round mags in this thing, a 5X prism and 300, 500 yards of clear fields of fire. And this is your neighborhood DMR gun. Like,
and it can, people don't understand just how much space that does in fact command. Like, it's hard for us to think in terms of neighborhoods sometimes, because square range and neighborhood look very, very different.
They really do.
That's a very different perceived environment. So it's, and some people have, you know, have done, who know how to do a range card, have done range cards on their neighborhoods, have done stuff, who've actually measured out some of the space. But most people who have a well set up rifle can command the space they need to command. They can do so very effectively, very easily, which is,
well, let's be real, like, you know, that idea, the limb fact of, like, if you have a properly set up bolt action hunting rifle, you have a neighborhood DMR gun. Yeah. Like, without a doubt, you have a neighborhood DMR gun. Now you're going to run into issues with ammo consumption and, you know, reload times and stuff like that, but, you know, the frick, I mean, here, we'll do some product promotion right now. The Taurus Expedition with this 3x18 Primary Arms scope on it, this takes AI pattern mags. Magpul uh-huh. makes a 10-round AI mag. I get a stack of 10s sitting next to me with this. And again, you can own a street from anything other than really serious counter fire, right? Like, The
you,
thing
you would
that...
have you would have to have a very well organized, very well prepared, and very well trained, and trained in the concept of they will attack into determined effective counterfire. That takes
Right.
a lot, guys.
Because, I mean, you and I,
a lot.
What's the standard infantry tactic for dealing with a well-positioned, accurate sniper? Mortars, indirect fire,
Indirect fire,
airstrikes.
close air support,
They shoot
artillery,
rockets at
mortar.
them.
Yeah.
And if they don't have that, they try to suppress the sniper with machine guns and advance on him to get a position where they can get, you know, the end, or they've got a counter sniper, right? Which
Yep.
really good counter snipers are also rare. So, like, the list of things that you would have to dislodge a really well positioned neighborhood DMR are basically infantry tactics. And if we're worried about a breakdown of social order, you know, they're going to have to be willing to assault into your fire, suppress you with heavy volumes of fire, definitely lose a few guys. So, like, I'm not saying this is the best idea to, like, you know, camp out in your attic, but then if you've got your neighborhood coalition, right, and they're trying to suppress you with heavy volumes of fire and outflank you, the rest of your coalition is also now shooting back because they're assaulting into your fortified position. So, yeah,
You
these are the
have
things.
that elevated position with a rifle that can command 500 yards is a really good position because they have to be willing to risk and lose so much in order to mess with you. So either you have something that they need that means that they're willing to lose half whoever they have or more of coming after you with it, or come after you with literally overwhelming odds. It's basic infantry tactics again, where you attack with a size up, right? If they know it's just you, you go after just you with four men, right? If you're going after an individual, you attack with a fire team. If you're attacking a fire team, you go after them with a squad. If you're attacking a squad size element, you attack them with a platoon, right?
Yeah. Or they drop mortars on your
Oh,
elevated
yeah.
position until it's
Yeah.
gone.
Or you utilize the advanced weapons because you have combined arms assets and
Yeah,
you can put any of
exactly.
your guys at risk. That
Yeah, but
one up assumes that you do not have other combined arms assets.
yeah, exactly. So this is the sort of thing, these are the sort of things that we think about at 2 in the morning. To change the subject ever so slightly, speaking of silly things that we spent money on. So I bought this on the internet with money. And if you guys aren't watching the video version of this, this is a Pieta 1863 pocket. It is a 31 caliber black powder pistol. And I bought it because there is a thing that exists out there called a conversion cylinder, which allows me to shoot 32 long out of this. I just take the existing cylinder out and I put in the 5-shot 32 long cylinder. And now I have a gun that shoots bullets that you can literally get shipped to your front door and actually does fit in a pocket. Like, would I carry this? No. Should I have access to adult money? Also, no, because this is the sort of thing that I buy with my adult money is black powder revolvers that have no trigger guard. Like, how gangster, like, when you think about how gangster this sort of thing is, right? Yeah, it's
Dude,
single action.
that's a freaking like barkeeper special
Oh,
awesome
yeah.
little revolver there.
Like, sure, it's single action, but I guarantee everybody who back in the day who pulled one of these out of their boobs or their pocket had their finger basically already on that
Oh,
trigger stud, and they would just cock it and just rip it. And I'm like, all right. I can't imagine how anemic the ballistics on this must have been. Like a 30 grain, 31 caliber bullet. Like,
It
having
makes
adult money is
22 long rifle look downright punchy.
Right. It's like the roaring delivery of a 25 ACP dwarfs this gun. Man, you know what's amazing?
You ever buy a
Speaking
gun that made the 32 ACP look like an absolute monster?
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact. You know what is amazing? Like, how we've rediscovered that 22 long rifle kind of doesn't suck for shooting people, and 32 ACP kind of doesn't suck for shooting people. But we're also unanimously in agreement that 25 ACP is dog turds.
Yes.
Like,
Look,
no.
just because we've swung back around on the pendulum on a couple of calibers that it's like, no, these are okay. I would fucks with these. Doesn't mean all of them got the redemption arc. They didn't all come back. Some of them were and still are terrible ideas.
Yeah, 25 ACP is always a bad idea, guys. Take it from someone who knows a little bit about carrying a 25 ACP. This guy, I carried a 25. I strongly would not recommend it under any circumstances, especially because
you don't have to. Also, because
who's even making 25s anymore?
I don't know.
Is Beretta? No, the Beretta's not making. There's no way, because they also don't sell. Let's see. Keith, any thoughts on last fun one? And I'll get your comment on this. We were talking about industry trends on a work call the other day, and obviously the firearm side of things. Hey, go buy some guns, people. Like, please go buy guns. Like, be like me and Keith, and you know, spend your disposable income on guns you don't need. We would all very much appreciate
it. There are a lot of really good deals going on right now in the space, and you should take advantage of those, because costs on a lot of stuff that I wanted came down significantly. So that's why
now I have
burned.
Yeah,
I have burned disposable income on it. So go do that.
You know who's not in that same situation right now? Suppressor companies. They cannot make cans fast enough. The guys at Silencer Shop are like, we're having the best summer ever. Like, just cans are.
Suppressors are flying.
I added a suppressor to my cart on Silencer Shop 2 days ago, and I was like, hey, let me double check my budget, make sure we're good to go. The next day I went to pay for it, and they were out of stock, like gone. I was like, what? Like, suppressors, like, so if you're working for a suppressor manufacturer or a suppressor retailer, good job. You're having a good summer. And I do wonder how many of like the local gun shops that didn't do class three stuff are like, ooh, I've gotten our SOT, so we could be selling cans right now.
There are a lot of local shops. I would not be surprised if we see some numbers, and if we dig into them with ATF and whatnot, that the shops that eschewed the ability to run NFA items, we see a lot of those have closed in 24, that they were not running the products people wanted. People wanted cans. People especially wanted cans as soon as cans started turning around at the speed of background checks.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I could go buy a suppressor tomorrow and pick it up in like 2-3 days. Like, come on. Which I've thought about doing. I should just go to my local retailer and get a can from them, because they have them.
That actually has them in stock physically, that's the place to go right now.
I went and
online
did,
allocations are swifty.
I went and did. I went to my local FFL, the guy I get my transfers from, / gun range, and I was a little concerned by the amount of inventory they had. You know, because so my wife and I moved up here in 2020. You know, during COVID, 2021, and I remember going in there, and they would have the shelves, and they did a good job of keeping guns in inventory, but the amount of just product that they have on the shelves right now is like, as someone who owned a retail outlet, I was like, you guys have a lot of inventory in here. But they're smart. They have a range as a revenue driver. So, you know, they've got that alternate revenue stream from the gun range. But yeah, it's an interesting time to be slinging guns across the tables these days, boys. I tell you what.
It'd be interesting. Be wild in these streets.
Yeah, it do be wild in these streets. But it's less wild if you've got a fucking Colt Commando clone, guys. Let's go.
The 70s are back in the menu, boys.
No, we got AUGs and Commandos. I'm going to go rob an armored car.
Let's go.
All right. Well, that is it for this week, everyone. Thank you very much for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all of those things. Please make sure you continue to do that. It boosts the signal. Apparently, I should be doing this, saying this bit at the top of the episode instead of the back of the episode, and maybe I'll do that next week. But today is not that day, and tomorrow's not looking good.